with in talking about Lazarus, and so let's start with a rabbit trail before we get into that. I need to reiterate, you've heard me say this a million times, you probably can guess where I'm going to go. A Sunday morning like this is one of the hallmarks to me, one of the indicators that the life of God is in this place. Because it's not just a group of people with a similar idea. It is the life of Christ. And so it is an organic service. It's not pre-printed in a bulletin. Noah had more songs than what we sang, and we did different songs than we sang, and and Lex is prepared to share the word. I've been very excited about what God has been saying with us, to us, and the word that Lex is sharing. But it doesn't seem that that is it for this morning. But it is what God is saying to us. And so I'm very excited about life here because it's God's life coming through his people. Same thing when Caitlin shared about the family. Some people may say, well, now, is that too much detail to say from the front? And my the first thing that came to mind is no, as Hope said. But in putting it in a scriptural context, when Paul confronted Peter, you remember the time that Peter, he was having a great time chowing down with the Gentiles until a Jew showed up and he's like, oh, excuse me. And so there was this offense that went out because of Peter's actions. And so when Paul called out Peter for that, Paul didn't go to Peter privately and say, can we talk a minute? I just need to let you know. He did it publicly because the offense was public. And so in this situation, this is a, yes, it is Matt and Deborah's family, but it's our family. It's certainly my family, but it's all here. And so, you know, there's that little blurry, fuzzy line between, well, what's said behind closed doors and what's said up here. I'm good with everything that she shared. Because, again, this is a living organism. This is a body, and one of the cells in the body was going, please. And so we all come around and we pray. And so I'm excited about the life of Christ being expressed. And when one member of the body hurts, we all hurt. And so as she's talking, we're right there with her. And so I know that the Lord will call you to remember them as he wills throughout the week, and you'll pray. So in our living service this morning, Hope was inspired to read, it's John 11, right? Lazarus' story. Am I right on the reference? 12? It's in John. It's in your Bible. You can find it. You can Google it. And so the picture that came to mind as she talked about, as she read about the story about Lazarus, was the fact that you and I are Lazarus. And it's a very easy picture to see because we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. And it was because Jesus spoke life to us that he called us out of the grave. And all of our life, physical, in the carne, in the flesh, all of our life was dead. Everything that we have ever thought, said, and done before Christ's life came into us is death. It is the walking dead. The world does a lot that looks like life, and they have a lot that looks like party and good time, and they have a lot that is really just, at best, the clay animation. It's move this dead thing. All right, now move this dead thing. Now move this dead thing. And it's all just death, but it sure looks like life to them. But at the moment that he spoke life to you, when he called your name, when God the Father drew you, when the Holy Spirit illumined Christ to you, and when you responded, you thought that you found Jesus, but it was him calling you. Amen. And you were just as absolutely powerless to receive life, give life, operate in life, as was Lazarus when he was called out of that tomb. Totally wrapped up in death. Couldn't even unwrap yourself. And Jesus instructed other saints who were now free with his life to unwrap him. And you know those stories. But I talked about the fact that there is a testimony that went out, because it was for 3.5 years now, Jesus has really been an irritation to the religious folk who have everything all figured out. They've got 613 laws, and if they follow all these laws, they can be really good. And he just keeps blowing it all up, and they can't refute it. They can be very angry by it. They can be very irritated by it, but they can't. I can't take him apart. And so this whole thing keeps building and building, like as if God's got a plan and he's not calling an audible. This whole thing is building to the point that when Lazarus is raised from the dead, they've got a real problem. Because when Jesus said, "I'm the life," that's one thing to say you're life. But when you tell a dead man to come out of the grave, four days. The preachers say, and I don't know if it's true. Unfortunately, when preachers start adding stuff, I'm like, I don't believe it. I ain't believing it. But the preachers say that according to tradition, that the Jews thought that for 3 days your soul stayed in the body or something like that, whatever. So it's important that he was dead 4 days, because that means he's really, really for sure dead. He's totally toast. And Jesus called him to life. Now, at that point, this is real earth-shattering, because he went from saying, "I am the life," to proving it. And he's telling them, "You can destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it up." And, you know, again, he's blowing up everything that they understand. But at this point, they've got a real problem, because there's a dead guy walking around. Very much alive. And so we read in the text that it's really only about a week until they are putting Jesus to death. And that testimony is that radical. The other thing that popped into my mind, and let me issue some proper disclaimers. I haven't taken the time to look at the text. This, I'm shooting from the hip, or perhaps from the Spirit. You be the judge. But wasn't it at the same time that Jesus was anointed with the costly perfume? So wasn't there an aroma in this place? And so when they smelled that perfume, it was like, man, this costly perfume. Where is that coming from?
Hallelujah.
Now here's the conjecture part. Do you think Lazarus had been anointed also? Do you think they embalmed him, they didn't drain his blood out. But do you think that they covered him with perfume before they put him in the grave? Now there's two people that have got perfume. And so you walk in that room and it's like, well, is that Jesus or is that Lazarus? Who am I smelling? And I'm saying that it's the same life. It's that same aroma. It's Christ was anointed, and they put that perfume on him looking forward to his burial. Lazarus had been anointed, and he no longer smells like death. He smells only like the perfume. And now that fragrance is coming from two people. And I would suggest that because of what he's done in us and what he's doing in us, there's fragrance coming from two people, from him and from you, because you have passed through the grave. You have been dead and you are now alive. And it is his life coming through us. And again, it's a testimony. There are many testimonies that use words, I guess the only other point that is floating around in here that I need to land the plane with this morning is God uses people. I know you know that. But like when you are, when you've got too much month at the end of the money and you're like, I'm $412.82 short. What am I going to do? And then $412.82 somehow shows up in your mailbox. And you're like, wow, who still has a stamp? But when that exact amount shows up and you're like, God, you did that. Well, there was a human somewhere that said, 4:12-82. And wrote it out and put it in. God uses people. And so many times we're saying, well, we want to pray. Well, Lord, help sister so-and-so. Help brother with that. Help this, help that. Meanwhile, now that we're done praying, I'm going to go watch Netflix. Well, you might be the people that he wants to use. If he's inspiring the prayer, he might also be inspiring the hand. I'm not putting a guilt trip on you. I just want when Jesus called out Lazarus, he didn't pray, Lord, send someone to help. It was, he directed people to help, and they helped to unravel. And we are the people that God uses. And so when it comes to that testimony, in Lazarus' story, we see no record of him saying any words, but his life was a testimony. And some people really like that type of testimony. I like the testimony where I don't say anything. These are not my words. I like where I just, you know, I'm just going to live my Christian life and let people see, you know. Me, I'm like, no, I want to poke my finger in their eye. I want to say words. I want to do things. But however the life of Christ is expressed in you, it's his testimony, it's his life, and it's his fragrance going forth. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we clearly know that you chose to be in our midst this morning. You chose to make your presence known in this place. You chose to feed your saints. You chose to encourage. You chose to draw out prayer and praise. And you have directed our hearts toward you. And Father, we pray that you continue to shore up this word, that all of life is in you, and that everything that we need to do is just draw from you. Help us, Lord, to move away from distraction and to focus solely on you and to draw life from you. You are everything. You have everything. You are worth everything. We worship you. We thank you that you've opened our eyes to see this. We thank you that you are faithful to accomplish this. And we commit all of this to you in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.